Hello everyone and welcome to a new episode of the Gamer Talk podcast. Martin Hoff and Sven Grønslund are my guests today. Hey guys.
Hello.
Hello.
So after some short problems in the right to find the right time for this occasion, I'm pretty happy to have you on my podcast now.
At last, we're here.
Yeah, finally. Finally, we made it.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. This is like the third episode of my co-op session where I have more than one guest. So, yeah, pretty looking forward to be speaking with you guys now. So, maybe you can give us a short introduction of yourself. So, I'm starting with Martin. You have been here for once, right?
Yeah, once before with Samuel DeVos.
Exactly, yeah.
And, yeah, I can introduce myself. I'm an environment artist at Ubisoft Massive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically it.
So how old are you, Martin?
I am 27.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like me. How about you, Sven? How old are you?
I'm 23.
Oh, the youngster.
Yes.
So you're also an environment artist at Massive Ubisoft, right?
Senior environment artist.
Oh, senior. I'm super sorry.
I'm kidding.
Oh, so sorry. This is going to bring me huge trouble. Okay, so when did you start out when, like, going for a career in games or in 3D environment stuff?
That is around, I would say, 7 years ago.
Seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 6 years ago. Started out in something called 3D College in Denmark, where I started dabbling around with environment arts, and kind of got pretty hooked on that, honestly. And from there on, I just kept going with that because I couldn't get enough of building worlds, and I thought it was a really, really fun activity.
Okay. How about you, Martin? How long have you been in the industry?
Well, in the industry, I think since 2016. Then I started as an intern.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And before that, when I discovered 3D was in 2014, was during at university, was that. I originally went there because I wanted to do things with music. But then we also had 3D classes, and that's how I kind of discovered it. I was like, this is cool. I can make worlds.
Okay, it's pretty funny that you wanted to go for a career in music, and now you ended up with, well, it's still some art related, but it's completely different, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay, so you have both been to school where you kind of came in contact with 3D. Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So yeah, the reason why we are here, because you both have made a good job on the Artist Decagon Challenge. So first of all, Martin, why you take part in those personal art challenges?
Yeah, well, normally I always kind of do personal art. Mm-hmm. And when there is a challenge with a theme I really like.
Money.
Not the money.
Sorry.
When there is a theme I really like, then how do I say that? I mean, post-apocalyptic is kind of I really like doing that. And if there is a challenge also in that theme, and it was at the right time for me because I didn't have any personal projects going. So I thought, oh, I can join this one. And it's also cool because you join with multiple people so you can see what other people do.
Oh, yeah.
And it motivates you to actually finish it.
Okay. So how about you, Sven? I think the same reason apart from money.
Yeah, what Martin said. I'm kidding. No, I enjoy the personal project. One point Martin made is that, you know, you actually get a motivation to finish this. And it gives you a deadline, which I normally don't have if I'm doing a personal project.
Yeah, I think
free time.
That's the the biggest problem for most of the people. Like with personal art, you don't have really a deadline. You just
keep
on working when you're... Yeah, when you got the mood, and when you don't have the mood, it falls away, right?
Exactly. There's a set for you, the theme, as you said. Some borders or some boundaries you have to stay inside of.
Like an art test.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, or working in an actual production.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something there where you don't have to think too much about that, and you just go and you push as hard as you can for that, and see if you make it.
Or if you okay. So yeah, coming to my next question, how do you stay motivated with such a big project? Like you've both work full time. You come home from work sitting at the desk all day. So yeah.
For me, it's kind of we work obviously every day on our professional projects. Mm-hmm, but then mm-hmm. coming home, it's kind of a break from having people tell you what to do and how to do mm-hmm. them. And here it's kind of just, you get a break and you get to be your own director mm-hmm. in a way. And creating something that you can be proud of as well. And having an extra piece for the portfolio is always a nice thing to show off your newly skills, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think having...
For me, I think it's...
Sorry, Lamashin. Go ahead.
Don't worry. For me, I think it's the fact that we can be really creative with our own projects. That's really motivational for me. Compared to at work, you can still be creative, but it's more in line with what the actual big project is.
Mm. Yeah, you can be your own boss, right?
Yeah, you're kind of your own art director, like Sven said.
Uh-huh.
It's still within a theme, but you can still... I mean, I have a big thing in the middle of my basketball court. Mm-hmm. I just came up with that myself and made it. And that's like really rewarding for me to do it that way.
So yeah, you have these own ideas and you can like really get them through from the beginning to an end.
Yeah.
How you like it and how you want it to be.
Exactly.
Okay, so what was the most difficult part in this environment? I know post-apocalyptic can be like huge. There are lots of things you can make. So what was the hardest part there?
I think that was the hardest part, that there is loads of things to make.
Uh-huh.
You have to nail down what you want to make. And also keep in mind that you really want to finish this because it's for a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I bounced around a lot of ideas and eventually came to this. But I think it was hard to choose what to make for me.
So how was it for you, Sven?
Yeah, it's same. There's so many takes on post-apocalyptic things out there. And finding something that speaks to you firstly, and something that maybe is not the number one thing that is out there as well. Try to bring something unique to the table. That's really tough, especially, as I said, in post-apocalyptic styles.
You both have pretty... Yeah, different takes on the possible apocalyptic thing. Yeah. Like when I take a look at the abandoned basketball court by Martin, it looks like it can be straight from The Last of Us.
Yeah, that was my biggest inspiration. So.
Yeah, I imagine. And Sven, you kind of took the Russian thing pretty hard, right? Why Russia?
Yeah. I am kind of in love with Soviet architecture and mm-hmm. that whole style. And I had a time living in Bulgaria where that was heavy influenced on me with their building styles and these famous huge block buildings. So that was a huge part of my story, like world building for this. Because I always find them so, they're so ugly and beautiful at the same time. I don't know. I really enjoy that style and the amount of reference you can find for these block buildings and the stories that are there, that are hidden. It's
brutalism, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I love it.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to nail, to be honest, because
I had such a difficult time building those.
It looks like so much, but also on the other side, it looks like nothing at all.
You have a simple block building, but they have a habit of having all kinds of attachments on these uh-huh. buildings, and there's so much hidden detail there that you don't really think about or see at the first glance.
So how did this basketball court come together, Martin? Was it really the game The Last of Us 2 that inspired you to make this, or has this been to your mind for longer, or how?
Well, it was mostly because I knew I wanted to do something with natural light coming in. from mm-hmm. one side. Mm-hmm. So I had a clear direction of where the light came from. That's also easier to make an environment that way.
And then, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I wanted to do something big because I wanted to, you know, it's a challenge. So you need to challenge yourself. I wanted to do something bigger. So I came up with a basketball court. And then my first plan was to just make it without the big gap in the middle and all destroyed and just make it abandoned. But then, mm-hmm. Then I was like, oh, it is a challenge and I need to keep on challenging myself.
It's too easy.
Yeah.
It's too easy without without the cracks.
Sorry.
Yeah, so I was, yeah, but it's kind of true. It was too easy to just make it the hole and then call it done. So that's why I came up with a big gap. And well, that also provided me with a light source from above. And I could do some cool ivy hanging down and get the real Last of Us look in there.
Oh, yeah. You really definitely nailed that look. Also with the color profile, it's super, super good.
Thank you.
So for you guys, what's the difference in making environments in Unreal or Blender? So both of you have created some environments in Blender, which is not that common, to be honest, because like Unreal Engine is the thing for most environment artists. But yeah, let me know.
Mm-hmm. I think the most important thing to say is that obviously Unreal and Blender are two very, very different packages. Whereas Unreal is a full-fledged game engine. And Blender is a 3D modeling software at the core. But Blender has obviously expanded to so much more. And now, recently, it was very much possible to build actual scenes in Blender and get real-time feedback from the models you were building. So you did not have to export all the time and import into Unreal. You could do it right there in Blender, which made it so convenient when building these scenes.
That you had it real-time. Bonus.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Whereas you can't build as big of scenes or complex as you can in Unreal. You can definitely build them a lot quicker and get a really nice preview of what you can get into Unreal from Blender.
Mm-hmm.
And I think definitely the super small details, I think you don't see, but if you, for instance, have a modular set or kit and you use it in Unreal, then every wall or every corner is the same. And in Blender, you can just go into the model and change it a little bit. Because it's all unique models.
Okay.
I think that is the biggest plus of doing it in Blender compared to doing it in a game engine.
Okay, so Blender is not game ready, but looks better?
No, not necessarily looks better. There's just you can do more with the details, I think.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Because in Unreal, you would have to make a whole new corner, for instance. And in Blender, you just get that one corner and change it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, it's the speed of Blender. But I think both of them look absolutely fantastic. And it's now with the release of Unreal Engine 5, it's really hard to beat that with the visuals and the tools at your hands, at your disposal. But the same with Blender. The tools at your disposal, theirs are insane. I had never dreamed that, 7 years ago, that there would be a free to download software that could do almost anything 3D related for you for free. That to me is absolutely crazy and a blessing, because Unreal and Blender combined is a super, super powerful combo.
Definitely. Yeah. They pretty grew into each other, right?
Yeah.
And also, I started doing renders in Eevee, the real-time render engine in Blender, when it just came out. So that was also more experimental for me to see how far I could push it.
Okay,
so maybe Sven, you could like walk us through the creation process first of your environment.
Yes. The challenge one, or the Blender one.
Oh, the challenge one.
Please. Oh, okay, the super. Sorry, yeah. I gotta make sure that I'm not saying
all of them.
What are you talking about? So start from the top.
Through your portfolio.
3 hours later, this is my first one. Okay. Okay. So, first up, my first step is to nail down a location first in the world and a time, and also to nail down something that a person that I could see living there or walking around there. So first I nail down a time and a place, and after that, I love to just go on Google Maps and just drive around in the Google car. And gather a bunch of references for this area. For example, in this case, it was a bunch of Russian influence, driving around in small Russian villages and finding all sorts of things. Looking at ads, looking at how they built houses, or what does like a poor area look like? What does a more gentrified area look like? What's the play here? And that ends up being hundreds of photos. And after that, I try to boil down and sort out. And after that, I would sort of start in Unreal and find a mood. I love finding a mood first. Is it dark? Is it kind of spooky? Is it happy? Post-apocalyptic, usually you go for something more scary. A better word here, right? I start blocking out and getting a feel for where I am, and trying to incorporate some of these more high-level references, I would call them. So landmarks you can see in the distance, perhaps, or like this building. Oh, I really like this building, for example. I want to have this right here, or this type of light that I found. And then I start building that up. Then from that point on, it's pretty much just rinse and repeat. Once I have a foundation that I'm really happy with, so the block out in this case in Unreal, is just start blocking out the models, textures, and the lighting, rinse and repeat from there on. Another thing that I also like to do a lot is the world building and a bit of backstory. So I'd usually have like a one-page document that's just a quick rundown of the history of how it came to be in this sort of state that it is in now. And I also like to visualize myself a character. In this case, it was a photographer for a newspaper that was running around and taking pictures here. This may be weird, but like seeing myself from her perspective in a way, and what sort of comment she would have about my world, and then sort of helping me, be more in the world. I don't know how to put that
I know what you mean.
So that helps me personally a lot, I found out, and that was sort of a new technique I tried for this one, because it made it all feel a little bit more real.
So I see that you also used some photo scanning.
Yes, so I also used this project as an opportunity to learn photo scanning. So all textures and models are actually here from Malmö that I've taken around the city.
Okay.
So using that, putting textures on anything, and kind of, if you know Ian Hubert,
I do. Yeah.
Taking his approach to building models, slap textures on stuff, and see how far you can take it. And it worked. It works really, really well in most cases. So yeah, so I wanted to dive into doing scanning a lot. So I had a blast doing that. It kind of also helped keeping you motivated a little bit, because it was, you were learning something completely new along with building your environment.
Oh yeah, yeah. So how about you, Martin? I think the basic workflow is the same. So what did you learn, or what did you try out, something new?
Well, I think compared to Sven, I have a much more hands-on approach. I just like to start blocking out stuff, and then as it goes along, think more about the world around it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then once I got a rough block out, I was like, I need some timeline now. So I made a timeline for my thing, and then based on that, I could create a crack and see what layers are there. So that's why, for instance, see the beds are on the crack or inside of it.
Ah, yeah, I see. Mm-hmm.
That means that the crack happened while there were beds inside. So that's kind of how I look at that and how I approach it. And then, yeah, of course, I get the reference board going.
And yeah, cool. From that. Did you build everything by your own? Like all the props, all the assets that are in the scene?
Yes, because it's also available on in Real Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, I need a full rights of everything.
Yeah, sure.
Is there a discount code?
Do you have the discount code for my podcast? Yeah, it would be super handsome. Gamer Talk 20 gives you 20% off. If you buy now.
Call now, actually. You call Martin right now.
Oh, no.
Buy now and you get your second environment for half the price.
Martin, we're spitballing. We can keep going here.
But you only can pay in bitcoins.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I only take bitcoins now.
Oh, you take only bitcoins now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also I wanted to say that except for the some textures, it's a really good website also for other people that want to do a Unreal Marketplace stuff. There's this website Ambient CG, which has textures that are in public domain, so you can just use them and you can sell them without embedding them in a game or a product.
Ooh, easy money.
That's awesome.
Cool. This is a great idea. Okay, so you took some from that page.
Yeah, because I'm not a texture artist myself. I can do some substance, but if I had to do, for instance, the wooden floor, I wouldn't know how to do that.
That's also a good point. I wanted to, like you said, I'm not a texture artist. I can do substance, but I find it super, it takes a long time to do, like a simple substance. And I don't know, sometimes I just want to slap a texture on something and just get it done.
Yeah.
Whereas, I don't know, photo scanning was a nice sort of middle ground. Yeah. Take a picture.
Yeah.
It a little bit, put it on, you're done. And so prioritizing as well became a really big thing in the project, perhaps. I don't know with you, Martin, but for me, I had to start, don't spend so much time on everything on the ground. Maybe more the composition is the thing now. No one cares if you got the normal map right on this dirt texture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
nobody sees that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think also in the end, I think I cut some corners to get it done. And also because in the end, my motivation was almost zero.
Same.
The deadline was there, so I really wanted to finish it.
Yeah.
It would be a shame if you wouldn't have finished it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Putting so many hours into it and then letting it lay on the desk.
Yeah, exactly. I would have probably still felt bad if I did that. Oh my god. Yeah, the last few, what do you say?
Weeks?
Days? Yeah, weeks of the project were, that was tough, man.
For me, it was really? The last 3 weeks, yeah.
Okay,
that was really crazy, but it felt really good when you pressed that upload button to Arch.
Oh yeah, I imagine.
And it was done. You had it. You checked everything. Did I do everything right here today? You know, over and out.
Instant release.
Super nice. Yeah.
Finally, you could game again.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was funny because after. Before they announced the winners, I didn't even think about that. I was just so done with this project. I was like, I need to just not do anything at all. So when they announced it, I was like, oh yeah, we did the challenge.
you kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about it.
And then you won, guys.
Martin. And then we won. First place. It was great. Yeah. And then happy ever after. Yeah. Oh, man.
Great. So let's come to the more let's go away from the fun stuff now. We're gonna dig in really deep.
We're gonna jump in this crevice here and get real deep.
Get real deep. Like Martin, which artist inspired you in your life?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Sven, of course.
It's real Sven. Big inspiration. Sven, wow.
Really good inspiration. Yeah, but I don't think I can say a particular artist.
Mm-hmm.
When you send us the questions, the first artist that came to mind for me was Rogelio Oligon. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I butchered that name. But
Maybe, yeah.
At the time, he was a material artist at Naughty Dog when I was still in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked what he did on the Uncharted 4. And his whole ArtStation portfolio is just super sick to me.
I have a question for you, Martin. Did you play Uncharted before you started doing 3D?
No, that was...
Was it out even then? I don't know.
Uncharted came out in 2016.
Yeah, Uncharted 4 was 2016.
It was definitely the game that pushed me towards environment art.
Yeah. Because really? Your environments, it's very Uncharted feels to it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I think that's cool. Yeah.
Especially the grandpa's attic.
Yeah.
It's from the beginning, like the introduction of the game, right?
Yeah, when Nathan Drake is in his attic and he's kind of contemplating his life.
He's shooting with the toy gun.
Yeah. So, I think if I had to name an artist, it is Rogelio.
Okay.
There's so many dope artists.
There's too many amazing artists out there.
Unfortunately, there are too many dope artists.
Yeah,
especially now, like this really got crazy in the last 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, it's ramped up. I remember when Substance Designer threw out an update. I think they updated the UI or something, but somehow Substance Designer completely blew up, and all of a sudden. All over ArtStation, you saw, the famous spheres.
Yeah, good old
spheres, right? And the next sphere was just better than the other. And after like a year, like, okay, no one can do it better now.
Yeah.
Skip ahead 5 years to people are just keep raising the bar.
Yeah.
And I am so impressed. And I just feel like, dude, I don't even want to open Substance Designer anymore. I'd just be ashamed.
I can't level.
I don't belong here.
Yeah. Ah, it's crazy. It's so cool to see. Very inspiring and also very overwhelming.
Oh, yeah. On the other side, it's very inspiring, but on the other side, it can be pretty disappointing, right?
You're like, am I really doing enough? Should I also start programming and doing concept art and 3D? Like, or doing animation?
Characters and animation. And because there are people out there that do that, right?
I'm so blown away. Like, you see Ian Hubert as well, who puts together, he's amazing at cinematography and the modeling lighting and also doing super nice rigs and animation, where I'm just sitting here like, oh man.
And he does the VFX himself as well with the green screen. Yeah, insane.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
It's very inspiring, but also can sometimes become a little... It's like, am I supposed to be that?
So I imagine it's Ian Hubert for you, Sven.
Well, not the initial though. No, it's been in the past few years. I've been very inspired by his philosophy of making things and not thinking too much about your modeling. Well, to a certain degree, of course. But I think because I've been thinking also about this question a lot, and I think my initial inspiration, the first one, was a guy called Andrew Kramer. And he's very famous in the VFX ring because I started out with doing a lot of After Effects when I was a kid. And I came upon this 3D plugin for After Effects. It was called Element 3D. And it allowed you to make 3D scenes in After Effects, and it had at some point it also included PBR rendering too, and it was all real time. And you got this package of 3D models that you could play around with and do all kinds of stuff. And Andrew Kramer has this whole video co-pilot website with a bunch of really, really nice tutorials on how mm-hmm. to make effects and cool scenes in After Effects. And he was like my initial inspiration. And then, as Martin said, there's so many cool artists. So going on ArtStation, you'll be like, okay, nice. Okay, I know I should make some art now. And then you get inspired by everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But obviously, as well, Ian Hubert, very nice, very inspired by his philosophy and techniques.
Yeah, for me, it has always been Lino Scheffel. Maybe you've heard of him.
I've heard of her. Yeah.
He's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Alina.
No, Lino Scheffel.
Maybe if I see your portfolio, I would.
Oh, you definitely know him. He was part of War Dog. Or he is. I don't know if he is anymore. This. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
His presentation and his texturing is just, on point.
Oh, I haven't seen this. Oh, this is awesome. What? Oh, man.
Hard surface modeling, man.
Yeah, hard surface. Crazy. Yeah, this is like more my field.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I take a look at the leaf stuff you did on your environments, I had no idea how to tackle this, how to do this.
Uh-huh. Oh, so you're hard surface.
I'm hard surface. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. See, I have no idea how to do that.
Yeah,
to
me
get
neither.
It that clean. That's another thing, man.
Yeah.
Really cool.
So which media inspired you in your career, guys? So I imagine it was Uncharted for Martin.
Yes, I can already answer that.
So actually, how was it for you, Sven?
Oh, you're gonna
Martin, if you want to add something to it, go ahead.
Yeah, I think a lot of Sony titles are really, mm-hmm. really engaging to me. And lately also I've been playing Red Dead Redemption 2.
I just started playing that as well.
It's a really good game as well.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God of War?
Oh, I haven't played
that. Oh, yeah, that got me going as well with foliage. I want to make some rocks now.
Yeah, a lot of people said, maybe I should just get on that.
Get in there.
Get in there. Trust me. I didn't play the ones before. I started with this one, with the PlayStation 4 one, and it's mm-hmm. such a great game.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful one.
Yeah, very good things.
And for you, Sven. So what was it for you?
Yeah, my original media that inspired me and sort of pushed me into making environments was After Effects and Garry's Mod, if you have heard of that game. Garry's mm-hmm. Mod, because it was this sandbox world where you had every asset or many assets from the Half-Life games, from the Source Engine, and you could, you could prop and pose and all this stuff, and it got me sort of kickstarted into, making and building environments and telling stories.
It's an older game.
What's up?
It's an older game then.
Yeah, Garry's Mod. Yeah. It's made by. Well, Garry, I don't really know his last name, but now he is the maker of Rust, which is probably more familiar. But that was great. And that got me started into, building environments and telling stories. And then combined that with my After Effects. Then I started slowly looking into, what's 3ds Max? And then I was like, Mom, can you sign me up for this school here?
Cool.
Here I am. I made it.
You made it
to the podcast, guys.
You made it to the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. This is actually why I wanted to be my entire life. Chris, you didn't know. Finally,
you made his dream come true, Chris.
Yeah, Chris. Thank you.
Yeah. No worries.
All the time. It's whatever, dude.
So what would you be doing in an alternate universe, guys? So Martin, let me guess, you would be a photographer.
Yeah, right now I would answer that, but I think if I didn't discover 3D, I think I would do something with music.
Yeah.
Even though I think getting a career in music is super hard.
Uh-huh.
The people that succeeded at really, really cool.
Yeah, they make a lot of money, man. Maybe you should have done that.
Who knows? Mm. Yeah, but right now I think I would be I'm really into photography lately, so
yeah,
that would be my answer now, yeah.
You're also pretty active on Twitter, right? You're posting some shots there.
Yes. Yeah.
I will put I will link your Twitter.
Okay.
In the info box as well.
Yeah.
How about you, Sven? What would you be doing?
I would probably be a chef somewhere. Not a chef, but I love cooking. In my free time as well. And get really deep into all kinds of techniques and cultures.
You go really deep with your cooking.
I go way too deep. Yeah, it's it's really fun for me. It's kind of like like therapy a little bit. It's super nice. So I do that, and so I could imagine myself in an alternate life, or maybe this one later down the road, that I have a little shop somewhere, and then you can come and take pictures, Martin.
Yeah.
And Chris, you're invited.
What would you sell?
I don't know. See, I've actually thought about that. Right now,
your pizzas are really good, though.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, pizza.
Maybe I need to come to Malmö then.
Maybe, yeah, that would be sick.
For some pizza.
I really got into pizzas at one point. It turned into sourdough pizzas because I started doing sourdough. And so I got really addicted to that. Like, just like, okay, what can we do now?
I'm super hungry now.
Yeah, sorry.
So you got this specific pizza oven, or are you doing this in the regular oven?
I wanted to get proper pizza.
Sure. But you definitely need one.
Currently, I'm in my apartment. I'm not allowed to have a pizza oven on my balcony. They won't have me. But I did find an electric alternative, although it is very expensive. So please donate to my pizza Patreon.
make my pizza. I won't link this in the info box.
Pizza GoFundMe.
Pizza GoFundMe.
Pizza GoFundMe.
No, it's not there. It's not there, sadly. But so I would love to. But I currently do it in the oven, which if you have a pizza stone, you can make it work pretty well.
Okay, and if you got the skills as well and the right ingredients.
It's a good old mix of that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like cooking is not so far apart from like what we are doing. We got our tools, we got our workflows.
Yeah.
We need some creativity.
It is an art.
We enjoy the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
We're digging deep now.
Yeah.
Cooking is art.
Yeah.
Cooking is art.
I also like to cook, so.
Yeah. Yeah, Marcy, you got a lot more into cooking as well.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, during Corona, like go out to eat, so it's like let's step up my game in my own kitchen.
Yeah, man.
What are you cooking most of the time, guys? Like pizza for you?
No, I'm not cooking pizza myself. I wish I could do that. Lately, I've been into Korean food a lot.
Korean? I had no idea. What is Korean food? Tell me.
It's spicy with rice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally going to butcher this, but it's just... there's a lot of meat, a lot of vegetables.
Okay.
And I think the meat is how it is... what is it? Spiced, seasoned, with some brown sugar and soy sauce, and then it's really good, the combination there, and then with some kimchi on top.
Yep.
That's spiced fermented cabbage. The combination is really good.
It's very nice. Sick.
Oh, that's lovely.
So, what else are you cooking, Sven?
I am currently very into ramen right now.
Ooh.
So we're going in a Japanese direction. Mm-hmm.
Two Asian guys here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's their kitchen is crazy.
Right?
Yeah,
they do.
I recently came out of like a bit of a French craze, and now I've moved into Asian, mostly sort of Japanese, because ramen is like, to me, it's like the ultimate like umami flavor town. And I was in Japan once, and I went to this ramen shop there.
Oh, yeah, you told
and
me
they
this.
Did, and dude, I've been thinking about it ever since two years ago now. and they had this. It's called a dip ramen, and now I can't remember the name of it, but it's good because I would probably butcher it completely. But if you just Google dip ramen, you find it. You have the noodles separately, and you have a pure bowl of broth, and you basically dip your noodles
dip
in there.
In.
You dip it in. Usually, most broths are very liquidy. This one was incredibly thick. What that resulted in, when you took your very nice noodles and you put them in the broth...
They stick to it.
And it was so great because you got so much delicious warm broth, and it was so tasty. And I could not find a recipe for this, but I found out the place I went to is like at their guarded secret KFC recipe, you know, like no one else has it. And I was just like, God damn it. And they used these special fish eggs, which has been marinated in spices for a long time, and you cannot get them here, so I have to now order them frozen online from a shop in the Netherlands. Yes, and then to finally get them here. So that's my journey currently, to make that goddamn delicious broth.
And it also says something about how deep you are into cooking. If you go,
I guess. So,
you order fish eggs.
Oh man, it was. If you had the broth, I feel like you would maybe do the same. You'd be like, I need to recreate that.
Yeah.
It was no ramen I've had ever since came close.
So it seems like Martin has heard this story quite some times.
We've been talking about it in the office. In the office, I always come over. I'm like,
Like Swend in the coffee break.
Yeah.
I have to tell you again about this ramen.
Or I discuss it with other people around the office. I somehow turn every conversation into, so the broth I had, and like Sven, we're just talking
it's
about
so big.
Like models, man. We can't like 3D models. We can't do this. Yeah, but the broth. Anyways, that's enough about.
I think we can end it here with some good ramen noodles.
Yes, man. Go get your ramen noodles, people.
Yeah, thank you so much for being my guest. It was super fun, like for real.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Very cozy.
Yeah,
thank you for having us, man.
Oh yeah. All right, guys. I wish you have a nice. I wish you a nice evening, and we'll speak soon. Hopefully.
Thank you.
Yes, same to you.
Pizza is ready now.
Have a good evening.
Yeah.
Have a nice evening.
Pizza's ready.
Take care, guys.
Take care.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.